ಸಾಧನೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗದಾಭಾನ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸುದಿ ಗೌರವಾಕ್ಷವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಭುತ್ಯಾನ ಶಿಷ್ಯಾವ್ ನಾಯಕಾಂತಿಕಂ
ನಾಯಕಾಂತಿಕಂ
ಕೃತೈತಿ ಎಸ್ ಕೃತೆ ಮನ ಕೋಣಿ ಅಸತ್
ಅಸತ್
ಕಾಂತಿಕೃತೆ
Actually purifying one's existence.
Translation of ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the food reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because of chanting is the heart from one's heart. Therefore, the states in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimadam, Sukhada, Krishna, Punya, Sravana, Kirtana, Pridanta, Stoshabhadrani, Vidunoti, Sukhasadam. Sri Krishna personality, Jagadish, Paramatma, whatever his heart, identifies the truthful devotee, cleanse the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. It is the special mercy of the Supreme Lord that as soon as he knows that one is glorifying his name, fame, and attributes, he personally helps cleanse the dirt from one's heart. Therefore, since there is such glorification, one not only becomes purified, but also achieves the results of pious activities. Punya Shravana Kirtana refers to the process of even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, pastimes, or tributes, one is purified solely by hearing and chanting. Such purification is called sattva bhava. One's main purpose in human life should be to purify his existence and achieve life. Because one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a real blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, tapo divya gupta prayena sattvam suryat. One must perform the pasyo. Austerity to purify his existence in order to come to the spirit. But the pasya of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, and Lord is a very easy purifying process, but which one can be happy. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of this process. Other processes, such as karma, dhyana, and yoga, cannot cleanse totally. Translation: the ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient, mark absolutely. Because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the food of reaction, if they're like to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, glorification of the name, fame, and recommended as the most dominant. Because such chanting eradicates the fear from one's heart. Here the Vishnu Buddhas state the relative natures of different purification processes. So the one is the atonement process carried out within karma yoga. The process is not complete. So therefore it says not in the karma to come. It is not completely cause good effect. But it does reduce the karmic offense. But it also does not completely destroy the desires. It may influence slightly the desires, but actually the desires are still there. And then again one will commit some sinful activity, and again one will have to suffer results. So this is compared to the elephant bathing river and then sprinkling dust on itself afterwards and becoming dirty again. So a person who does this atonement is like that. He does not completely remove the desire for enjoyment, and therefore he again commits sinful life. The Vishnu Buddha state here, therefore, it is not, I come to God, it is not a complete process. Temporary stopgap process. In comparison to gunanuvada, which means glorification of the qualities of the Lord, this is a process which completely removes the reactions, etc., of material existence. So karma nihara completely removes all karma. So this of course is stated in the Nectar Devotion also. You see that Klesha Agni means that bhakti removes reactions, removes fires, and removes ignorance. So ignorance is the subtlest level, desire is the next level, and action and reaction is the last level.
So all levels are destroyed by the level. So karma will destroy the reactions, but not the ignorance or the desires. Jnana and yoga, ultimately, if they give liberation, they must also destroy reactions, desires, and ignorance, because we cannot have liberation with ignorance. So if the yogi or the jnani gets liberation, they must also destroy all these three bondage. However, what is the difference between karma and jnana and yoga and bhakti if they all destroy karma ultimately? So the difference is that jnana and yoga seem to destroy everything, but actually they must also take the help of bhakti. So jnana must have a little bhakti in it, and yoga must have a little bhakti in it. Then you get liberation. So they are not a complete process also. And the second point, of course, is that yes, it is possible to destroy your karmas and your desires and your ahankara, etc. But it's a very difficult process, a long process, and it requires great endeavor. So in this way, it is not recommended. And the other point is that jnana can destroy karma, but it does not completely destroy it as long as one is living. So that means one's corrupted karma still remain until one dies. So jnana does not claim to remove corrupted karmas at all. It will remove other karmas, but not corrupted karmas. So in that sense, it doesn't remove karmas. Whereas bhakti removes corrupted karmas as well as uncorrupted karmas. The difference. However, the main difference is that the goal of bhakti is not to remove karma. The goal of bhakti is to create prema. And the removal of karma and liberation, etc., is a secondary result. So it is not the endeavor of bhakti to create liberation. That is not the goal. The goal, rather, is just the Lord. So these things are accomplished secondarily. So we see here that even if that bhakti is done accidentally as an abhas, still it has effect. So Ajamil chanted the name of the Lord gently, and all of his karmas are removed. So technically, he could get liberation. So it was a very simple process. He did not have to go through lifetimes of austerities and meditation and study of Vedanta, etc., practicing jnana and yoga. Simply by chanting the name of the Lord once, accidentally, he destroyed all of his karmas. Therefore, the process of bhakti actually accomplishes whatever jnana and yoga accomplish in a much quicker and easier way. But that is not the real goal of bhakti and accomplishing. So, here the Vishnudutas are comparing the two processes and showing how devotional service in any form, whether it is chanting about the qualities, the name, or the form of the Lord, or the activities of the Lord, all of this is very, very powerful to destroy all karmas of any sort. So, therefore, this is the recommended process over all other processes. Those who are in the material world, they have desires. They may approach bhakti with these desires. So they practice mixed devotional service. They have a desire for bhakti, and at the same time they want to get rid of their suffering. So this is karma mistra bhakti. It is superior to Ajamil. Ajamil accidentally chanted. He wasn't even trying to practice bhakti, yet he got his karmas removed. But if one with faith tries to practice with also the desire for destruction of miseries, etc., and karmas, one will even get a greater effect. The accidental chanting gives one effect. If we chant with mixed bhakti, we get a greater effect. And if we chant with pure bhakti, we get the greatest effect. So, therefore, though holy name isn't glorified in the story of Ajamil, actually, the glory of the name is much greater than that, because he was only accidentally chanting, he was doing namabhas. So one who purely chants will get
one who blasphemes a Vaishnava. Then the devotees began an ecstatic kirtan, and Mahaprabhu in his black form began dancing in ecstasy. Everyone was dancing in ecstasy. Soon his body became golden again, but this kirtan was so spontaneous, everyone was crashing into each other. Even Jagai and Madhai were so intoxicated, they were crashing into Lord Chaitanya. Crashing into Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu. And they went back to Mahaprabhu's house for more kirtan. Sachi Devi had nice prasad for them. Meanwhile, the demigods, every day they would come and watch the pastime. Just to calculate their sins. We have this 100,000 scribes writing, and we have these messengers going back and forth with more and more and more sins. The messengers are so exhausted. Yamaraj Ji jumped up into the air and started dancing in ecstasy, whirling around, crying, Gaur Hari Ki Jai! He was dancing and dancing like a madman. Then Chitragupta started dancing like a madman. Then the Yamadutas started rolling in the ground in ecstatic love, chanting, Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai! What a scene! When the other demigods, they never saw Yamaraj like this before. He's a very respectable, grave gentleman. He's a Mahajan. He was totally abandoned all of his composure, and he was...
If we chant with ignorance, fine, but if we chant with deliberate aparad, then that actually is destructive of bhakti. So rather than progress, we stop or we destroy bhakti. So that's bad. Accidentally, a gap sukriti, in case of Achamil, chanting the name of Narayana as a son. So we can call it bhakti in a very extended way. It's not real bhakti, but we can say it's called a gyatra sukriti in that sense.
Isn't that bhakti is not a goal?
Our goal is not liberation. Our goal is prema, bhakti. Bhakti means, yeah, no karma or jnana, yoga, actually. Renounce in the sense that we renounce other desires and the desire to serve Krishna. But if we renounce Krishna, then there's no more bhakti. So we can't renounce Krishna or service to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It starts in sadhana. As soon as you do sadhana bhakti, kleshikni takes place. Of course it takes place even before bhakti, with a gyatra sukriti starts to take place. And it's a case of Ajamil. It started with when he chanted accidentally the name of Narayana. Oh, well, it's not really described exactly when, but the whole process starts with as soon as one practices bhakti in any form. So the karma is destroyed, desire is destroyed, and finally the ignorance is destroyed. But the last thing is the ignorance, which is the form of ahankara. So that's destroyed. Ultimately, the last traces are destroyed in bhava.
Tell me, when you start committing something like that, how should we call yourself Narayana many times? Like, Narayana.
No, even the first one. But had no effect. It was like the teeth of a serpent without poison. So none of the so-called sinful activities had any effect upon him. All the reactions of past, present, and future sinful activities were removed by that.
Huh? It
means purification, a state of pure purity.
Hmm?
Who says that? Well, that's not a qualification for liberation. Those are qualities which appear due to process of bhakti. They have nothing to do with liberation. Liberation itself has no qualities. Oneness. Oh, but they think that he has a material body, so it's aparad. So then the counter effect. Well, they can get namabhas, but if it's aparad, then it's worse. Get any effect? Namabhas.
Grantra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sulnas Banmaras ki jai. Doing this but Grantam the Bhagavad ki jai. Both prevalent. Jai Mataji.